Well, good morning and welcome to the early service here at Gospel City Church. And at least now we know what the 8:15 service will feel like on Easter Sunday morning, okay? So consider this a dress rehearsal for everybody. As Easter Sunday morning, we have 8:15, 9:30, and 10:45, okay? And we kind of need all hands on deck that day, as we're expecting, obviously, full, you know, we're being at full capacity. And so would love for, even if you're not, even if it's not your week, I think it's a blue week, but we're treating it, instead of a blue or red, we're treating it as a purple week. And we would love for you to volunteer, even if you're not volunteering currently on a team, we'd love for you to step in that day, be a greeter for us, help out with our kids. Of course, we need you to do a background check for that, but would love your help on Easter Sunday morning as we get ready to welcome our community. And the other side of that is that would you start inviting your friends and your family, your coworkers who don't go to church anywhere, to come on Easter Sunday morning and celebrate that with us. Well, and this morning we continue our series in Philippians, and we got a few weeks left. And then on April 21st, we're going to read through the whole book together and have different people read and worship as we, in between readings, and take communion together. And so it'll be a beautiful time that we hadn't done in a while because we hadn't gone through a short book. We've been saying all through the series that whatever it is that we tend to put our confidence in this world is temporary at best. And even at that, it doesn't really help us because it depends on ourselves. It depends on our performance. And so it doesn't really provide confidence, true confidence that would last, that's endearing. Only our relationship with Jesus gives us true confidence. And that's where Paul is pointing his readers in the church in Philippi. It's where he's pointing us. And it's definitely where he points us today, because we all know the intense power of focus, right? I don't know if you remember as a kid taking a magnifying glass, and if you put it up, it'll gather the sun's rays to a point where it can, you know, light a leaf on fire, and if you're not careful, many other things on fire, as I found out as a kid. But also, even more so than that, there's these lasers out there that can cut metal. There's lasers out there that can cut a hole in a diamond, and it's because of the intense focus of the laser. Now, regular light, as you know, it goes all directions at one time. In fact, you know, if we just were to light this candle, yes, we are repurposing the Advent candles. But can you just kill the lights, Troy? Can you take those down for a second? Even the stage lights, bring those down if you would. Maybe not. Oh, there we go. Okay, so beautiful. So we know that regular light, it disperses in kind of all different directions, right? But a laser light, okay, it gathers up all the light and it forces it out into one direction to a specific point. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about this morning. He's talking about Jesus being that laser that points us to the Father, and you and I being that laser that points other people to Jesus. So thanks, Troy. You can bring up the lights. I know there's probably some people scared of the dark. Hey, we'll just leave that on for ambience, right? Just kind of set the mood a little bit. But this is what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3, as you and I follow Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we're going to pull it up on the screen. And we're going to pick up where we've been the last couple of weeks, just kind of reminding ourselves what the Apostle Paul has been saying, because he's really setting up what we're going to hear today. So let's start in verse 7. He writes this. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. But what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage or dung or excrement or crap, because I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And I want to know Christ. Underline that. That's kind of what Paul is pointing us today. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow obtaining the resurrection of the dead. Now, Tanner preached on this last week, did a beautiful job bringing out the meaning of these verses that we just read. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that on our website, because that sets up what Paul is talking to us today. So let's read verses 12 through 14. It says, not that I've already obtained all of this. So all of this that I just talked about, not that I've already obtained it or have already arrived at my goal, but I press, underline that word, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, so he continues to use this loving, tender language. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and that's difficult for some of us, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press, underline this same word, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So in verses 12 and 14, Paul uses the word press, but he also uses the same Greek word in verse 6. But the same Greek word in verse 6 is translated as persecute. So Paul says, I persecuted the church before I was a Christian, but then he turns around and he uses the same word in verses 12 and 14, and it's translated as press. So how can a single Greek word be translated as two different words? Well, this is why. Because this word that he uses, it literally means to pound. I've always wanted to be the preacher who pounds the pulpit, you know. But it means to pound is what Paul is saying there. That the difference is that before Paul was a Christian, his name was Saul, and his one mission in life was gathering up all of the Christians and pounding the church into extinction. That was his goal. But now, after he met Christ, after he became a Christian and is called Paul, he's gathering up his whole self, everything that he is, and he's pounding it. He's forcibly, he's intensely focusing his whole life to a single point. That's what he's talking about there. So, keep the lights on. There we go. That's what he's talking about. So verse 12, let's go back and read verse 12 together. Okay, get ready to read along. Okay, I'm queuing you up here. I know it's early, but here we go. Verse 12, we got it up there. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press. Oh man, you guys are awake this morning. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Now, I take hold, that's a very strong Greek word, and it means to grasp, okay? It means to grasp tightly. It means to hold on to. It means to press or to pound. So now watch, listen, don't miss this, okay? Because this is key in us understanding today's, meaning. Paul is saying that he is pressing, that he's grasping, he's taken hold of, is caused by Christ Jesus pressing and grasping and taking hold of him. In other words, what Paul says is, I can only take hold of Christ because, key word there, because Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Okay, now don't miss that. He says, I can take hold of Christ, key word, because Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Now, Now, sometimes, okay, we think that, you know, that Christ does not take hold of me because I've taken hold of him. Now, if that's our philosophy, okay, and there's a big difference between Christ taking hold of us, and because he's taken hold of us, I can take hold of him. But when we think that we've taken hold of Christ, and because we've taken hold of Christ, he takes hold of us, that puts us in the driver's seat. Do you see that? That puts us as the initiator. That puts us in control. And when we come to Christianity thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to take hold of Jesus before Jesus chooses me and before Jesus takes hold of me. What that's saying is, hey, I'm in control, and that gives me the authority to keep Jesus at arm's length. Because if we go into our Christian faith, if we go into our Christian walk thinking that we're in charge, then we'll approach the Bible with, you know what? I don't really like that part, so I'm just going to rip it out. I'm not going to rip it out. But I'm just going to rip that part out because that's outdated. That doesn't really apply to me. Or that doesn't, you know, I don't really agree with that. Or that's offensive is what we'll talk about next week. But see, we can take hold because Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. He's the initiator. See, God first loved you, and he first loved me long before we ever thought about giving God a chance. Long before we ever thought about turning to God and trusting God. He loved us. Now, the reason why this concept is so important, I know it may be like, you know, Lord, I don't know if that's really important. But the reason why this is important is because there's so many self-improvement ideas out there. There's so many self-improvement options out there. And if we're not careful, we'll treat Christianity as a self-improvement option. Something that we, you know, we'll go to God whenever we need help. We'll turn to God whenever we need something. We'll turn to God whenever, you know, we feel over our head. But there's so many self-improvement options out there, from Scientology to Buddhism to Oprah. Every self-help program out there, they all say the same thing. And they all say, it starts with you. You want to feel better about yourself? It starts with you. You want enrichment in life? It starts with you. And you want more confidence? It starts with you. They all say the same thing. But Christianity says that self can't help self. Self can't save self. But through faith in Jesus Christ, in who he is, and what he has done for us through his life and his death and the resurrection, we can be helped. We can be saved. We can have forgiveness of our sins. Besides, Jesus says in the scriptures, he says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. And so Paul is saying, I can only grasp Jesus because I have been intensely grasped by him. I can only love Jesus because Jesus has intensely loved me. So he says, I press, I pound everything that I am to press on, to obtain the goal. So the second part of take hold is that you and I would become spiritual laser beams ourselves. You see, a laser beam, it's gathered up light and it's all forced out in one direction to a single point. Okay, that's what makes laser beams a laser. And I'm sure there's a more technical definition of that. Maybe Mark Turner can explain that to us. But a laser, it's light that's forced out in one direction to one single point. And Paul says that his entire life has been reoriented towards a single point. And it's pushed towards a single point. Now, there's two parts of this. Paul says in verse 7 that what is ever to my profit, I now consider loss. Now think about this. What Paul is talking about here is everything that made him feel significant. Everything that made him feel important. Everything that made him feel accepted. Everything that made him feel approved. Everything that made him feel secured. Everything that made him feel loved. He's saying, hey, I count all of that loss. What used to make me feel all those things, man, they compare nothing to the significance and approval and acceptance and security and love that I have through Jesus Christ. He says, I consider all of that loss. And when Paul becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, his whole life is flipped upside down. His whole life is transformed from the inside out, not the outside in. That's religion. Religion says, hey, you have to change, but you have to change from the outside in. You have to start doing this. You have to start dressing this way. Stop dressing that way. You have to start talking like this and stop talking like that. You've got to change your behavior. And as you change your behavior, your heart will change. That's religion. But Christianity says that Jesus comes in and he flips it upside down and he changes our heart because our heart's changed, our behavior has changed. Because our hearts change, our minds are changed, and what we believe controls what we do. And that's what Jesus does. See, flips our world upside down. And Paul's entire life is gathered up, and it was going this way, but he meets Jesus, and then he goes the complete different direction, and he starts, everything he has starts pointing to Jesus Christ. Now, you know, he's going this way and he's persecuting the church and he thinks, okay, well, I'm just going to pound the church into extinction. He meets Jesus. Now, he didn't on his own say, oh, well, I'm going to go this way now. No, Jesus took hold of him. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9. Yeah, Acts chapter 9. And how Jesus takes hold of him, changes his life, and points Paul's life a different direction. And many of us have, maybe we haven't been blinded on a road to Damascus, but we've had that encounter where we've been grasped by God's love for us. And we've been changed through Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Paul. See, Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, he was a Pharisee, which meant he was a very moral person, very moral person. And Paul says, as a Pharisee, I obeyed the law to be my own savior. Because the more I obeyed the Old Testament law, it made me feel better about myself. And I did this to gain favor with God. And as I did this, it made me feel better about me, and I looked down upon others. Paul says, as a Pharisee, I obeyed the law in order to put God in my indebtedness so that I can control God, so that as I approach God, I could demand things of him. That was his whole philosophy as a Pharisee. But then Paul becomes a Christ follower. And he looks at his life, and he looks at others, and he looks at obedience, and he looks at God a completely different way. Paul says, he says this throughout the whole letter. I don't have a righteousness of my own. I don't have a right standing of my own before God. My right standing didn't come because I kept, you know, all the Old Testament laws. My right standing comes because Jesus, I put my faith in Jesus, and Jesus kept all the laws for me. That's where my right standing comes from. And Jesus changed that in me. He says that everything was changed. That the only way that I have forgiveness of sin is not through my performance or my behavior, but through the performance of Jesus. That Jesus lived the life that I should live, and he died the death that I deserve. And now Paul says, now that I've received Christ, I'm accepted through grace, not performance. That there's nothing I can do to make God love me anymore, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me any less. Amen? That he loves us. We are his beloved. And we know what beloved means, right? It means that we are richly and deeply and freely and wholly and unconditionally loved by God. And when beloved hits our hearts just want more of that. And so Paul says, you know, because of Jesus Christ, I'm accepted through faith and I live a life differently. I obey as a gracious response to what Jesus Christ has done for me. My motive is different. My drive is different. My view is different. Everything has changed. As a Pharisee, he says, you know, that God has taken hold of me because I took hold of him first. But as a Christian, Paul says, I have taken hold of God because and only because he has taken hold of me first. And everything is different. Paul says, how I treat people is different. Paul says, I used to hate and persecute my enemies. That was all about me going this way. My heart is transformed by Jesus. And now I don't hate or persecute my enemies, but Paul says that we need to pray for or we need to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That's radically different. Paul says that I love my neighbors as I love myself. Paul says that I take care of the poor and the widows and the orphans and those that feel marginalized by our society because that's what Jesus calls me to do. The gospel changes everything. It changes our attitudes towards others. It changes our attitudes towards our parents. It changes our attitude towards our boss, our coworkers. It changes our attitude towards our enemies, towards our business, towards our money, towards ourselves. The gospel gathers all of that up. Everything that we are and everything that we have, it reorients it and it focuses it, points it to the cross. Because Jesus changes everything in us. Verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what's the prize? He talks about it in verse 10, and the prize is to know Christ. And Paul says, I've come to the point to understanding that only one thing is ultimate in my life. Now, he's not saying that all the other things in our lives are unimportant, okay? He's not saying that. But he is saying that only one thing gets to be important. And when we look, when Jesus is ultimate, we start to look at all the other things and we start to see that those things really can't give us confidence. And they're not as important as we thought they were. Do you know what happens when God's love, when we realize how loved we are, that we're his beloved? And we realize that knowing Jesus is ultimate. Do you know what potentially could happen in our lives? We would relax. Because we start to realize all those things that we worry about, all those things that we stress out about, all those things that we try to control, all those things that keep us up at night, they're not as important. They're not unimportant, but they're not as important as knowing Christ. And so it changes our approach to things. And so when we put our head down at night and, you know, our brain shifts into overdrive and we start thinking and we start worrying, we get anxious and we start thinking of how we can control the different outcomes and we start, you know, freaking out about it, we can truly say, God, you're in control. This is important to me, but knowing you is far more important. So use this in my life to help me know you more. And as the band comes, let me just say this as I close out. To know him is not just believing in him, okay? Even the demons believe in Jesus. But to know him is that he gets bigger and we get smaller. we get to know him through consistent moments in his word. We get consistent moments in prayer, pouring our heart to him, consistent moments in personal worship and in corporate worship and in community. And Paul says, you know, to know him's the prize, it's the goal, and I've not obtained it yet. Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. But I know Jesus more today than I did yesterday. And God is transforming me from the inside out. You see, when the heart can never get enough, beloved, when we realize how much Jesus loves us. And so let me just ask you, what's getting in the way? What's getting in the way of that? Let me just ask you, what's getting in the way of that? And let the laser beam of Jesus just pinpoint that in you, of what's getting in the way. I mean, maybe some of you here today, what's getting in the way of it, you're just mad at God. You're just mad at God because things didn't work out the way you wanted to work out. Anybody ever been mad at God? I have. Anybody? Yeah. Okay. Would anybody say that, raise your hand, that, hey, yeah, I was mad at God because things didn't work out the way I really wanted to, but as I've lived life, I'm really not mad at God anymore. Okay, right there. This is what the deal is. There are some of our brothers and sisters, to use some tender language here, that are still mad at God. And so those that raise their hand, if you're still mad at God, go find them and say, how did you get beyond this? Because I'm so stinking mad and it's getting in the way of knowing God. That's what we're called to do. Maybe some of us are so worried about something right now. Anybody worried about anything right now in your life that it's kind of controlling you? Has anybody ever been worried about something and now you're not because it you just trusted God with it? Yeah, anybody? Okay, there you go. Find one of those, but find our brothers and sisters who've been there. Say, what did you do? How did you point all that to Jesus? Maybe some of you are afraid of something. That to Jesus. See, to know God means to say, okay, God, take all this anger that I have towards you, take all this fear, take all this anxiety, and here's my preferred outcome, but God, if it doesn't happen, not my will, but your will be done, and would you use this season to help me know you more? Because that's what I want. I want to know you. And Paul says, because we are the result of Jesus's laser beam in us, then we're transformed from the inside out, and then we can become a laser beam to point others to Jesus. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it just means that we say, okay, God, use everything that I am and everything that I have. Because I want to know you and I want others to know you too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how it encourages.